John chapter 2. I wrote the starting verse, did not write the ending verse. Let's read down to verse 22, 13 through 22. Any objections? Okay. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of the money sitting. And when they made a scourge of, when he made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers of money and overthrew his temple, or their tables. And they said unto them, we'll get it right. And said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my father's house and the house of merchandise. His disciples remembered what was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. And that's found in Psalms 69:9, I believe. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou dost these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for those who return to your house tonight because they are still hungry for the word of God. We ask that you would give us that word, that you would speak to us, that you would encourage us, that you would draw us close to you, and that our hearts and our minds would be upon worship tonight. Just use me at this time that I might be a blessing to your people. Let the word go out. Let people hear the word and through faith come to Jesus Christ. All these things we ask in his name that you might receive the glory. Amen.
Amen.
Preaching tonight, wine, a whip, washing feet, and worship. Specifically, we're going to be talking about the whip today and tonight. Now, here at the beginning of chapter 2, we read of the story about Jesus, how he turned water into wine. And from there, it says he went to Capernaum and came down. It was Passover time. You'll notice that it says the Jews' Passover, not the Jewish Passover, not the Gentiles' Passover. It says the Jews' Passover. This was what they were observing. This was a remembrance of what God had done when he delivered them from Egypt and the death angel passed over. Now, we who know, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story, understand that Passover was also a picture of the judgment of God passing over us. Jesus is our Passover. We no longer celebrate the Passover. So they enjoyed the wine, but now as it was time to worship, Jesus came in and noticed the flaw in the worship. Now I told you this morning as we spoke upon the ads depicting how we should wash everyone's feet. And we said Jesus didn't wash everyone's feet. There was one recorded occasion where he washed his disciples' feet. I really believe it was the only time he washed their feet because they were astounded that he did it. They were shocked and to some extent dismayed that there was no servant. I remember hearing a preacher friend of mine talking about this one time. He said, you know, they're probably looking all around saying, well, who's going to wash our feet? Who's going to wash our feet? I'm not going to wash your feet. Are you going to wash your feet? And here's Jesus, their master, that kneels down and washes their feet. And the message that was given that we were talking about this morning was that the world needs us to wash their feet. No, they need to be washed in the blood of Jesus. That's what the world needs. That's what sinners need. Amen. The washing of the feet depicts us as Christians, how we need to constantly keep ourselves clean. And the temple here speaks of the worship. So it says he came down for the Jews' Passover, and Jesus practiced the Passover, although he is our Passover. He honored the temple, although as we will look at the history of this temple, it was not necessarily the temple that God had ordained back in the Old Testament. You see, in the history of the temple, and I know I'm looking around at faces, you all know this stuff. David wanted to build a temple. Rather than having this tabernacle, this tent that was set up, and it wasn't the greatest place, he felt, to worship the Lord. Now, you can worship the Lord in a building like this. You can worship their churches and storefronts. But David wanted something magnificent that he would worship the Lord. But the Lord said, yeah, there's blood on your hands, David. I will not let you build my temple, but Solomon, your son, will build the temple. And Solomon, who rose to great prominence and great wealth and had the ability to build this temple, and I believe that God gave him, one of the reasons God gave him that wealth is so this temple would be built. So Solomon built the temple, and it lasted 400, 500 years till the Babylonians came in and invaded and destroyed the temple. And the Persians allowed the Jews to come in under Artaxerxes and rebuild the temple. And as Ezra and Nehemiah, those men came in, they started building the temple. And you get to Haggai some 20, 25 years later, and the temple was still not built. And God had to remind them of why, the purpose that he had given them. Then as that temple fell years later, the Romans appointed King Herod, the false king, over Israel, over the Jerusalem and Israel, and he had put them, they had put them into place, and Herod, out of his pride, decided to build another temple. Now this temple was not built for the glory of God. It was built for the glory of Herod. He wanted people to look at him and perhaps maybe even endear the people to him. And they built this temple. By the way, in 70 A.D., some say 90 A.D., that temple was destroyed by the Romans. That's what Jesus was talking about here. Some 40 years or so later, this temple would be destroyed. How do you know that? We know how he knows it. He said this temple will be destroyed. You can destroy this temple. He had told them elsewhere in the gospel that not a stone would be standing. But he also revealed that on the third day that they destroyed his body, he would rise again. By the way, did you know there's going to be another temple? There's going to be another temple. The scriptures reveal that the Antichrist is going to be in the temple of God. Now, we know that because we know the scriptures. We believe the scriptures, but guess what? Right now, the Mosque of Omar is sitting on that site. That mosque is going to have to go down. That is the greatest site, I believe it is, for the Muslim religion. Every day they turn and face Mecca, where that temple stands, and pray. But here we are, we're in they're in Herod's temple. Jesus had come down. The point of the temple was for people to, by the way, this is not a temple. This building is not a temple. It is not the same as a temple. And I've even seen some churches saying a such and such Baptist temple. This is not the temple. This is more in lines with the synagogue. The synagogue is where people studied the scriptures and they learned and they did worship. But the purpose of the temple was to offer their sacrifices and their offerings and bring their tithes. Now we no longer have to bring a sacrifice because Jesus is our sacrifice. This was what was meant where they would bring the animal sacrifices and they would pay their offerings. Their sacrifices depicted what Christ would do. We no longer need to sacrifice animals. And by the way, that was never, ever, ever their means of redemption. Many people think, oh, back in the Old Testament days, they sacrificed, they were saved because they sacrificed these animals, and then Christ came and became the sacrifice. No, those were just a picture. Hebrews 10:4 makes mention of this. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. These were given as a picture to depict what Jesus would do. He would offer himself up. That we might have salvation. And the atonement that was given was just because they had faith that this sacrifice would come. That they were obedient to the word of the Lord. The Jewish rituals, all the Jewish rituals that we see. And a lot of people say, and I think I might have mentioned this not too last week, last Sunday morning. But they say, well, why don't you believe in God's laws? Why don't we keep all of God's laws? And the criticism is, there's a law, like according to the Jewish law, my beard is not okay because it's shaved off at the side. You're not to trim it. You're not to cut up. You're not to do anything but let it grow. There are certain things that they practiced in the Jewish law, and those were not civil laws, those were ritual laws, and those were things that certain garments that they wore, and those were to depict that they were God's people at that time. There was a sign of separation. By the way, we should not necessarily dress like the world either. We should dress modestly. We should cover our bodies. Who all's in favor of me covering my body? Amen. They say if you're trying to convince somebody of something, as a salesman's technique is just say a few things that you get everybody to agree with, and then you'll get them used to agreeing. But they were a depiction of the Messiah that was to come. The Christian ordinances are a remembrance of Christ, what Christ did. This table in front of the pulpit says what? This do in remembrance of me. Did I get that right? I used to read that all the time when I was a little kid sitting in church. Gives you something to do while the preacher's preaching, right? So anyway, when we're baptized, it's a remembrance of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And is a picture of the death of our old person. And the burial of that person and the walking that we have in newness of life. The Lord's Supper, as I call it. There's different names that people call it. Some people call it communion. Some people call it the Lord's table. I always call it. I grew up here. It was the Lord's Supper. What is that picture? It pictures the body of Jesus that was beaten and broken for us. Now his body was broken, but his bones were not. It pictures the fruit of the vine, pictures his blood that was shed for us, for the remission of the sins of many. And so this is not a temple where we offer animal sacrifices. We come and we worship. The tithe is given. The tithe is brought into the storehouse, which is the church. Now, if you want to give to some other organization, that's fine, but don't rob the Lord's church. If you want to give to St. Jude, give to St. Jude. If there's some other ministry and it's that you want to give to and it's a biblically sound, give. But don't pass that off as, well, that's my tithe. If you want to give to some poor guy standing on a street corner with a sign, give to him. But don't say, well, that's my tithe. The point of the temple was that they were to come and they were to worship and they were to give their sacrifices and their offerings to the Lord. Then he comes in and they're in the temple. They've got animals. We love our animals in our society, don't we? You can't go into a store without somebody carrying their dog around in the store around my food that I'm going to buy and eat. Went to Frisch's in Louisville one time and some woman sitting behind me with a snuffier dog or whatever his name was. I'm trying to eat my big boy. I don't want your dog hair on my food. No amens here. But anyway, this was the house of worship and they were bringing the animals in and they were profiting off of this. And there are some churches today that still sell merchandise in their churches. I remember, I was thinking about this. I think about this every once in a while. I hadn't been here, I don't know, maybe less than 2 years. And Brother Head had come down. It might have been the first revival that he preached down here. First revival we ever had Brother Head preach. You might remember Brother Head. All right, we did get you agreeing for something. So Brother Head came down. He was preaching a revival. And they were having the dinner down the road at the school to raise money for the fire department. And Brother Josh said, I want to take you guys out, you know, pay for your dinner down here at the fire department, benefit. And so we went down there, and my family and Josh and I and Brother Head, and we're sitting there, and I believe it was Brother Head. Somebody made a mention about all the money they were making because the place is packed. Probably everybody here has been there, you know, before. You know the place is packed. And so we're there, and they made something about it, and I was kidding around. Josh didn't, I hadn't been here that long. Josh didn't know me. I said, yeah, maybe we ought to do that at church. And just the look on his face, just, oh my goodness, what do we get, you know, who do we get in here? And I just busted out laughing. But there are churches, and they try to validate, you know, all, you know, we're, some of the money goes to the church, and we're doing this, we're doing that, and they're making the church, the Lord's house, the house of worship. Once again, it's not the temple, but this is a place of worship. This has been designated. You know, we always say, well, this is not the church, we're the church. Yes, but this is the place where we have set aside and dedicated to worship together. And they'll say, oh, well, they were doing crooked dealings. The money changers were. And what they were doing was people would come from other areas, and they would have different money, and they were exchanging money and saying, okay, you know, it would be like if you went to Mexico, or when Pi and I went to Canada a few years ago, There was a, as soon as you crossed the border into Canada, there was a little store there, and it said, "We will exchange American currency for Canadian currency." I was like, "Well, we want to have some Canadian currency. We're in Canada." Turns out, I think every place we went, we were able to use our American currency anyway. Same thing as in the Bahamas. We used American currency. They took it. But they were saying they were shortchanging people. Now, I don't know where they find this in the Bible. I don't know if there's historical accounts of this. They were shortchanging people. They said the animals that they were selling, sort of like in Malachi. Remember in Malachi, they were offering up weak and lame and animals that were not worthy for sacrifice. And they say, that's why it was a problem. He says, no, you made it a house of merchandise. That's the problem. Now, all those other things were bad as well. But the place of the temple was there in Jerusalem. It was the place that God ordained for the worship. This place where the animals and the business was being done was in the outer court. The outer court was called the place of the Gentiles. Now, the Gentiles were not allowed in the temple proper. Why? Because they were Gentiles. You and I could not have gone into the temple. But there were Gentiles that believed in God and wanted to worship God, and they would come to Jerusalem, and they would come, and the place that they could worship the Lord was in this place of the Gentiles, in this outer court. So they come to Jerusalem, they come to the temple, and this place where they are to worship is filled up with people. And they're having their, you know, you see these churches now, they'll have tables out, and then, you know, and they'll have selling their goods. They rent out a space into the church, and the church makes money off of it, and they make money off of it. Everybody's happy, right? And it's become a place of merchandise. So the Gentiles would come. They had no place to worship. This was preventing those that were outside the Lord's people to come. It would be like setting up barriers where the lost couldn't come and hear about Christ. See, there was a problem with the temple. Number one, I said it was Herod's temple. But Jesus still honored it. It was in the right place. It was there where the temple was supposed to be. He still went into the temple. He still had respect. He still called it his Father's house. Now, he called it his Father's house. He didn't call it our Father's house, did he? Because these were lost people. They were Jews. They were lost people. They were making money, and perhaps they were doing it dishonestly. He said, my Father's house. See, God isn't everybody's Father. He taught the disciples, and we won't sing the song. He taught the disciples to pray what? Our Father, which art in heaven. It was their Father, it was his Father, but it was not the Father of these people. He said, you made my Father's house a house of merchandise. We talked about the uneven exchange where they would exchange money, but to do it unfairly. We talked about perhaps these animals were sick animals. They give that excuse, you know. If they were basing their worship, and it's bad enough that they did it, then once again, the sacrifice of the animals was not something that was sacramental. It did not save them. Did not maintain their salvation. But they are basing their worship on these sick animals. You know, we have people in our churches spreading false gospels. We have people in our churches, ministers, that refuse to preach against sin. And that was one of the issues that from the sermon this morning we were talking about. Matter of fact, after I preached that this morning, I came and there was this video, what they had should have said. Instead of Jesus saves, Jesus gets us, it should have said Jesus saves us. And it was showing people that had been drug dealers and prostitutes and former lesbians and former transgenders, and they were, God had saved them by their grace. Not by the washing of their feet, but the washing of regeneration. So the problem they had in their place of worship is the problem that we have in our places of worship nowadays, is all this stuff is going on that really does not belong in the Father's house. We see the purifying of the temple. I remember a while back hearing a sermon, and I can't think of the preacher's name. I can't think of the man his name right now. In the Old Testament, they were talking about all the things that were going around, and the men of Israel were having relations with women that were outside of the, and there was one man that was in it and took a harlot, and he was involved with her and this man, and if you think of the name, tell me after, don't raise your hand, tell me now, but think of it after church. He went in with a spear and he drove the spear through both, the man and the harlot. And then he went out to Israel and he said, how long will you people allow this kind of stuff to go on? Well, Jesus went in. He didn't wash anybody's feet that day. He made a scourge. He made a whip. He found some cords and he gathered together. And I picture he was like Floyd Duncan with his belt. And I told you this morning, it really doesn't say that he hit anybody with it. It didn't even say he swung it. Maybe he just held it up. We don't know. But whatever he did, he drove these people out and overturned their tables. Now, I said this happened early on in this ministry. They were asking for a sign. The Jews always wanted a sign, always wanted a sign, always wanted a sign. And he said, you know, 3 days when I rise again, that'll be your sign. And they still didn't get it, did they? They were making up stories even after that. As a matter of fact, I told you this morning, this happened early in his ministry. We read in the Synoptic Gospels that this occurred, and a similar event occurred. Now, there's no mention of the whip in the other Gospels. But there, before he was, when he returned to Jerusalem for his crucifixion, came in, and I even heard one commentator said it was probably worse than it was the three and a half years earlier when he first drove them out. Not only were they back, but perhaps they were even worse, and they were still there, and they were still making a mockery of the worship of God. And he overturned their tables again. You know, it doesn't matter what Jesus says, it doesn't matter what Jesus does. Men are intent to do what they want to do, are they not? That's why we need repentance. This was a house of worship, and it was also, the temple was a picture. Everything in the temple worship pictured Jesus Christ and His atoning work. And when you do things to take away from the worship of God, when you do things to alter that portrait, you're altering, and that's why there are so many false pictures of Jesus. Why is marriage so sacred as a picture of what Jesus and His relationship with His church? Yeah, marriage has become something to laugh at nowadays, isn't it? People don't honor marriage. One of the problems with people not respecting the Lord's house is because some of the things that go on in many of our houses of worship. Once again, Jesus didn't wash up any feet here. Jesus drove it out. He drove it out. I pray that if anything creeps into this church that doesn't belong, God will drive it out. He said his temple. He referred to the song. The zeal of my house has eaten me up. They had changed the worship to what they wanted it to be. And they said, "Who are you? Who are you, Jesus, to tell us what to do? Give us a sign." He said, "Here's a sign." And the comedian used to say, "Well, wasn't here's your sign." He said, "Destroy this temple," referring to himself, "and in 3 days, 3 days I'll raise it up." It says he spake in the temple of his body. And after he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered what he said. And they believed the scripture. You know what we need to get people to follow Christ? We need to preach of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We need to preach His words. We don't need to preach our agendas. We don't need to push our agendas. We don't need to push our particular interests. So much preaching that you see on the national level is about this and about that, but very little is about Jesus came. God came in the form of man. Became flesh that He would offer that flesh up for our salvation. Flesh and blood that He would offer His blood for our sanctification. Was buried and rose again. That is our message.
Amen.
That is what we need to preach. That is what we need to stand for. So stand.